Blog Talk Radio.
This is what your dishwasher.
You had me when
God. Come into your body. So come into your body. Come into your body.
Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. My name is Carmen. I'll be your host for tonight. Today is Saturday, May 4th, 2022. Welcome. Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for this time as we gather in your name. I ask that you give us hearts that burn hearing your words, like the disciples did when they walked with you and their hearts burn inside of them. Give us an understanding of your word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. And if you're not well, we'll pray about that and things will be different. Amen. All right. Tonight I have something that I want to share with you, things that the Lord has been sharing with me, and it's the topic of bearing fruit. Before I go on, if you need prayer and prophecy, please dial 1 on your keypad on your phone, and it'll place you in the queue, and on my end, I'll see your hand raised up. Okay. Tonight, I wanted to share what God laid on my heart. There were many things that happened around our country and the world this week. Also, this past week, Prophet Randy shared what God revealed to him about the root cause of this court case between two divorced Hollywood actors. It hit me when I was talking to someone about that as my words came out, I began to put things together. Then God showed me this as a later on in the scriptures to confirm it to me. Well, here goes. In the world, not only in Hollywood, the world praises the idea that certain things or people are ideal, something regarded as perfect, right? And we see that in Hollywood. They think certain things are perfect. If they have money, if they have a home, they have so many kids, and money in the bank, everything's perfect. That's ideal. That's the ideal life. The world has a standard of what they think is perfection, what they think is beautiful, what they think is excellent. And the pull of this, and it pulls you in a way of thinking that may be attractive or interesting. It pulls you. And may pull you to things of the flesh. The flesh can be tempted, being tempted, lured, you know, like lured to something that will tempt you to do something or to go somewhere, or offering you something that will make you or make your flesh feel good for the moment. But you know what? Those are like animal instincts, you know. Animals feel like that. They're lured. They're pushed. Like when you give a dog a treat, they're lured and they'll do the trick that you want them to do. You know, fish have that pull too. And that's why they call that bait, a lure, okay? To lure a fish to eat what you have for them so that you can catch them. So, you know, even fish have that in them. So people have that. People, after they have fallen for the lure or the bait, will blame others or the devil. And I remember as a child that my parents would watch a show called Flip Wilson. And I think I mentioned this before on one of my shows. This man played many characters on the show, and one of his characters was Geraldine. Geraldine always had the habit of blaming the devil for everything she did. The devil made me do it. The devil made me buy a dress. Everything was blamed on the devil. Well, people are no different today. They blame others or the devil. Either it's one or the other or both. This may be true, that the devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil, you know, comes to, put pressure on you. The word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you need to understand that there is a reality in the spiritual warfare that we must not ignore. And that is in our flesh. That's one of the worst places, right? The carnal nature, your ideals of what is good, what is perfect, can and will cause you to be pulled, to be lured, because you, you know, when it pulls you, it can make you change your course, your direction in life, to do things and in ways that are not from God, right? And as I'm saying, I know that you're already thinking of things that may be a lure, a bait, a pull, things that we've seen other people do, you know, that have pulled them and ruined their lives. So Paul, whom Prophet Randy had been teaching about this week, gives us a warning about that we're going to look into about, you know, not walking in the flesh. Right? Because walking in the flesh, you're being lured, you're being pulled. All right, in Galatians 5, 16 to 17, and I believe Prophet Randy may have touched over this a little bit. I think, yeah, he did touch on this. But I want to give you my point of view on what God was showing me. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So they're battling. There are conflicts with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So it fights. The one that's the strong is going to win. So that's why we have to learn how to bear fruit and how to allow our spirit. And so we can see other people's fruit, but we need to be careful not to be fruit inspectors, always looking at what other people are doing. And that's dangerous, you know. But on the other hand, Jesus wants us to inspect our own food, fruit. He doesn't want us to look at the speck of our brother's eyes, but to look at the big beam, you know, that may be in our own eye. This is not a new concept. Jesus also showed us to have discernment with people, you know, and by observing the fruit so that they can discern who they are, so you can discern who they are, right? So in one hand, he doesn't want us to be fruit inspectors, but on the other hand, he wants us to have discernment. So there has to be a balance here. So Paul shows us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Let's take a look at that. It's in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law, right? Here, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, okay? Let's go back to verse 5, Galatians 5. But this time, we're going to go a little bit before what I just read. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so now we see two different fruits. Well, but if you're living in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, well, let me share with you something. I'll give you a quick summary of how I came to Christ, right? And this is a little bit off the topic of this, but it has to do with, you know, it involves all of this. I'm taking you on a little journey, like I always do. It's like we're talking, you know, as friends. So I was born into Catholicism because my parents were already Catholics. And when I was born, I went to a Catholic private school, and I got married as a Catholic. All my life, I was drawn to God, and I felt a love for Him, but I didn't know Him. And as I continued searching, even as a young teenager, I always, you know, was always interested in the things of God. I was reading about things like that. As a young mother later on of two children, I began searching even more because I had the freedom. I was an adult then. Because I was lonely and I was hurting. I was a military wife, always away from my family and friends, which made it really hard for me. It was really tough, you know, to raise your family all by yourself. And I didn't have much time for other people because I had a family and a husband to take care of. Many times I was by myself, even while my ex-husband was away on duty, and doing a military tours. And so in our final military tour, we went to live in Texas, where we are presently. Here, I began to search for a church. I was already uncomfortable with what was being taught in the churches. He had been showing me some things, many things, that I was uncomfortable with in the churches and that didn't seem right. It seemed just as I felt like it was like the Catholic Church all over again. My family didn't approve of me leaving the Catholic Church later. So, you know, I was like rejected because I wasn't like the rest of the family. And so, and what made things worse was that God kept showing me different things that were like even in the Christian church that weren't right. And I was like, you know, I'm never going to find a place to worship you and to know you because, you know, your word is saying one thing and everybody else is saying, and it seemed like there was a lot of similarities to the Catholic Church. So I decided to go to a Messianic synagogue because I was reading about it online, and it showed that they were believers in Jesus. And I was like, you know what, let me look into this. And so when I started, I was like, you know, a lot of the things they teach is, you know, from the word, right? They seem right, but you know what? As soon I started seeing the same thing, the same religiosity that I found in the Catholic Church, Jewish believers in Jesus. So I learned many things, and I went to four of those synagogues to try to search for God. So I met people that were hungry for the things of God, but they were teaching them in wrong ways. And I was like, you know what, I'm not getting into this. So I met a friend after that, and I moved away from these things and explain to him why I wasn't in agreement with those things. He was polite all the time, but I could feel there was a clash in the spirit between us that I didn't know exactly what was the why about it. This person was very nice to me. Well, this past week we went, we were on the Randy show, right, on Thursday. He went on that show, and you know, we did he did the communion, and he was on my heart the whole week, and the Lord had me praying for him. And so I told him, hey, is there something going on? And he said no, that he really didn't. So I just continued praying, and most of the time I was praying in the spirit, but I could feel it in my spirit. There was something that God was doing, that he was doing in him, and I didn't know quite what it was. So he took communion, and it set him free. And he listened to the preaching. He later confessed to me that God opened his eyes to the truth that I was telling him all this time about the places that we had been worshiping at, that I was, you know, explaining to him the best as I could why these things weren't in line with, you know, the way that God wanted it. I had been praying for him, so, and then I was happy to know that God really did. You know, I was like, oh, okay, he says that he was, but then he sent me a text. And man, oh man, I saw that in that text, it was true. You could feel that there was an understanding of what had taken place in his heart. So, this really is real. This stuff is really true. You know, God sets you free. When we're in communion, God sets you free. So today we realize that these teachings are just religious. It doesn't, it's keeping you in the law. It's not giving you grace. It's not allowing you to walk in the things of God. But my friend mentioned something that had caught his heart. And in that, he was talking about the wall of separation and where the Gentiles were separated from the Jews in the synagogue, you know, because the Jews thought themselves better. They didn't mix. So God immediately reminded me that women were separated too, all the way in the back. And they weren't allowed to speak in the synagogues, right? So they had rules for the Gentiles. They had rules for the women. They had rules, you know, that the Jews were, like, in a better place. Today, the Jewish Orthodox are real rough with women. When I was watching a documentary where they treat, you know, women rough. The women go out to work in that religion. And the men stay home studying all day. So this kind of belief towards women in our Christian faith is also there. It's also there in the Catholic faith. It's there in the Messianic movement. And I was like, they didn't allow women to take positions in the church because they thought them less than. Women are no less. Gentiles are no less. Like Randy was saying, than the Jews. It's for everybody. We don't have an upper, you know, we may have an upper hand because we know the truth. And the truth is what sets you free. It's not us. It's not a religion. So we have to understand that, you know, that there was a dividing wall, but it wasn't only for the Gentiles. It was, you know, for even women. And so, well, my friend was set free. He believed in some of the Messianic ways, even though they say they believe in Jesus. The Messianic believers are more religious in knowing Jesus. You know, every once in a while there would be something that would move, and the Spirit of God would move, but it wasn't a constant thing. You learn to recognize them by their fruit, God was showing me. But for the most, of these religions, the Messianic is also religious, even though they want to believe that, no, that they're not the religious group as the Jews are. They're Jews, but they're, you know, like they are the believers. They believe in Jesus, but they don't understand that it's more to that than what they're believing. It's not through those rituals. It's not through the celebrations of the feast. You know, even though those things have their place to teach us something so that we have a closeness to the Lord, but those things are not the things that are going to make the changes in us. Many Christian churches also are in a religious part of that thinking. The Catholics, for sure, are involved in those works. Randy years ago had prophesied something about God using me as an Elijah. I thought about it, and I said, "Uh-oh! If there's an Elijah, there's a Jezebel." So let me tell you that there was a Jezebel after that. What had happened, there was a Passover dinner, and they were at a synagogue of people that I know. A friend of mine said, you know, "Hey, can you help?" And I said, "Sure, I'll help." I wasn't, you know, going and visiting them, or, you know, I wasn't involved there. But, you know, I had a friendship, you know, with some of them. Not that I visit them or anything. So we started helping. And so that encounter was with a Jezebel at that function. So I laughed because Prophet Randy had said it. I knew if there's an Elijah, that God was going to use me like an Elijah, there was going to be a Jezebel. Well, coming back to my friend in the Jewish belief, he mentioned that he reread the scriptures from Thursday night and more. He remembered when I told him about circumcision not being done in a male's private, but in one's heart. And let me explain. There is a story I mentioned about hind feet in high places. Well, in this story, there's a character named Much Afraid. And there is another character named Shepherd, the Shepherd, right? The Chief Shepherd, which is representing Jesus. And that the shepherd, she comes to him because she wants to be part of his kingdom. But he tells her that to be part of the kingdom, that she has to be in the part of the kingdom of love. And she would have to let him put the seed of love in her heart, which is a sharp seed. And she was afraid. She asked him, you know, is this going to hurt? He says, she saw that the seed was really sharp, and she was scared. And he told her it would go in quick, being that it was sharp. And that's how it happened. He put it in, and it went quick, but she experienced some weakness later on, that she was so tired she laid to rest. That seed, my friends, is circumcision of the heart. You know, and what happens when we go through that process, you know, that can take a toll on you at, you know, because your flesh is struggling. There's a struggle there. And so when you give yourself to the Lord, you know, it is so debilitating at first, but then it is something that is beautiful later on. When we allow God to enter our hearts, then this kingdom will begin to grow the right fruit, okay? Okay, so from that seed on her journey, she was going up on the mountain of the kingdom of love in that journey going up. So when your heart is circumcised, you're on a journey. That journey is in the kingdom of love, and you're going to learn some things on the way, and it's not done quickly. It's a slow process. Later, before she was given hind feet, you know, her feet were transformed. At the moment, they were all crooked, and they couldn't walk very well. So when she was going up the mountain, there was, on her journey, she found herself that there seems to be a journey down into the valley. So part of that journey sometimes is God taking us into a valley. to show us some things. And he tests us every part of the way. You know how when you go up a mountain, you go zigzag, and sometimes you go down, and then you go up, and, you know, it takes you in different routes. It's a journey to get up to the high point. And so she was able to see in one of those places, like a pyramid. And she saw, you know, as she was growing in the things that God and trusting God, she gave her heart to the Lord. Then on part of that journey, she starts seeing that after a while, there was a little leaf, a gold leaf, and then a little gold flower came out. So gold, remember that I was teaching you about the tabernacle and the metals in the tabernacle, that gold represented the glory of God. So God entering her heart and her bearing the fruit of that flower, the fruit of love in her heart, represented God in her, you know. And so that's why we need God to circumcise our hearts with his seed of love, his seed of love. And I'm trying to give you this analogy so that you could understand your journey as you go get closer with God, as simple as I can. So let's take a look at Galatians 5 again. And it it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Remember we talked about that yoke, the oxen being unequally yoked, and how one, they both had to be of the same strength, because if not, it would pull the other one, right? And I also spoke about the priests in the temple, that they don't sweat. So if you're yoked with a burden by a yoke of slavery, then that slavery means that you are going to be under a master and you're going to be sweating. Remember we talked about that some weeks ago? Because they're put to work, right? So God doesn't want us to be under any yoke, so that we are put to work. We are not slaves. We're not slaves. We're free. We're the priests. We're like priests. And priests don't sweat. They don't work. Even their garments are made different than everybody else, because they're made that way so that they don't sweat. We are his body. I hear people calling Jesus master. To me, that's slave talk. We trust in him and not in self. So we don't say master, because that means, you know, hey, you're sweating. Hey, master, what do you want me to do? We're sweating when we have that kind of mentality. Mark my words. This is what Paul says. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I desire to every man who lets himself be circumcised, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. So God is not talking about a circumcision of the flesh here. The Messianic groups, they still do all these things just like the Jews do, because they believe that that's the way that you're supposed to do. In the Catholic Church, they do that too. They do a lot of the similarities. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by grace righteousness, for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. There you hear it again, love. And so that reminds me of that story of Much Afraid. He was trying, the chief shepherd was trying to teach her that it was through love. And so we see it here in the scriptures, that it's through, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are a slave when you let those religious works enslave you, yoke you to a heavy burden that you can't pull, that you can't do. You can't do the things that it's demanding of you. So let's go back to Much Afraid. When she left the shepherd's place, the seed of love in her heart, that's when the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, began to grow in her heart. And when you are circumcised in your heart, you are saying to God, yes, I come in agreement. Remember that we talked about agreement, that you have to come in agreement with God, with what he says? So it says, so when we are circumcised in heart, you're saying, yes, I come in agreement with you in this covenant of love, God. Remember when we talked about that covenant being an agreement between two parties? In marriage, there is a marriage covenant, like a bride that says, I do. I want to be your wife, God. I say, the Catholic Church, they have servants that they call nuns. And they have a marriage ceremony, but they don't understand that. They don't understand that it's not being married. They kind of understand it, but they don't know how to bear the fruits the way that it's meant. They have a lot of religiosity, and they don't get it. They don't understand that. And so I say yes. We need to say yes. Remember how God had me. Had invited me to that quinceañera about 2 weeks ago, and I told you that it looked like a wedding. The little girl's birthday party was like a virgin waiting for her groom, being prepared for her special day, like a bride with Jesus. She was dressed in white. She had gold trimmings over her white dress. It looked, all big. It looked like a wedding dress. My granddaughter, whom I went with, her name is Sarah, which means princess. So God was setting me up to see analogies here of the things that he wanted to show me. We are like virgin princesses and princes, as for the guys, they're prince as God's daughters and sons, but we are also Christ's bride. As his bride, we need to prepare, like I said last week, for that marriage supper of the Lamb, not the Lion of Judah, okay? So going back to all of these two actors that we were in, that were in court this past week, and one won and one lost, the root cause of all of their bad fruit is apparent to everyone, right? Everyone can see it. It's a warning to wake up and arise. Sleepy ones. Jesus had to tell the disciples, wake up. He told them about three times before they went into, before he got crucified. So no more time to sleep, okay? It's time to wake up and pray and seek his face like never before and bear fruit of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And what we were seeing on TV was people bearing fruit, bad fruit. So when a woman is married, she bears fruit in her womb out of the love for her husband. When you say yes to Jesus, we're saying, yes, I do. Then we bear fruit of that Spirit. That's how we show him that we love him. Amen? And so, okay, so we are the tree that bears fruit. Remember that week that I was telling you about that quinceañera, that in the middle of the tables, there were trees and the leaves were white. So that to me is the bride, the virgin. They're dressed in white, symbolizing purity. We are the trees. And we have branches and we bear fruit, okay? But that fruit comes from the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one that develops that in us. But when we are rooted and grounded in God, in the Word. But the world has bad fruit because they are rooted and grounded in the world system. And we spoke about the world system weeks back. So we must let his love in our heart and be rooted and grounded in him. We got to, and that's in the word, in Ephesians 3:17 through 19, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. See that love again? The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You can't understand it. So Jesus must be our root system, okay? Without that root system, remember when he went by a fig tree and it didn't have any fruit, and what did he do? He cut it off because it wasn't bearing fruit. He's coming back for a bride that is full of oil, that is bearing fruit, okay? The love of Christ nourishes and establishes the believer. Every person is in search of love, you know? And this character, much afraid, she was searching for love. She was lonely too. There was parts of that trail that she was lonely. I can identify with that. And this quest for love can cause the world the worst of behaviors at times, right? Look at the world. They behave badly. Look at what's happening now with this past court case. Ever heard of the song Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places years ago? Remember the one? Remember just this past week, the ending of that relationship that I was talking about? Bad, bad. All bad fruit. But the believers who are rooted in the love of Christ has endless supplies of nourishment, love. It's always there. It never ends. It's constant. It never ends. So you can go to Christ Jesus, and he always will have love for you. He'll always give you what you need. When you are rooted in the love of Christ, one can walk through a dry valley, a dry place on this earth, a dry place without love. You know, it's rough. I can tell you it's rough, but still, you can still be fruitful and alive because of the secret love you have between him, below that surface where you can go, and that when you spend time in the secret place, in your inner man, the love of Christ is always there. So, beloved, spend time in the secret place. That I have been trying to teach you for all these weeks, you know. Even the songs that I play, it teaches you all about when. Remember that I taught you about Moses when he went up to the mountain, onto the cleft of the rock? It was him and God. There was like a marriage going on. He came down. And they couldn't even recognize him, you know, the veil, he was shining. He spent time. Remember that teaching that I was giving you all? So let's spend time in the secret place and go deep into the reservoirs of love. That's where you're all going to find his peace, his shalom, your victories. The deeper you go, the more you'll be swimming in God's love. So get deep in God. The deeper you get, the more you're going to be swimming in his word. His word is going to take you places. And it's scary because, you know, some people don't want to swim because they think oh, I don't know how to swim. But God will teach you how to swim. He did it for Peter, right? He did it for Peter. Peter started walking. It was fine. As soon as he started looking at the storm, what happened? He started sinking. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And bearing fruit, much, much fruit, loving God and loving others. When you love God and you love others, you have to let God do that within you. Work out what God has already worked in you. It's already done. It's already put in you. When you are born again, it's already done. But work it out. Work it out. So, later on, I'm going to give you things to think about. But right now, I'm going to take some calls, and then we'll talk about some things that you can do to continue bearing fruit and being a prepared virgin, right? We want to be prepared for when he comes. and it's not what you think. All right, so the first caller is 910-709, your name and where you're from.
Sylvia from North Carolina. Yes.
Hi, Miss Sylvia. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Give me a moment and I'll pray for you. All right. Let me put you on mute. Father God, we just thank you for Miss Sylvia. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come against whatever is coming against her in her health, Father God. We just pray, Father God, that you touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We ask you, Father God, that you make her well, Father God, and boost her immune system like never before in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for giving her clarity of her mind, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for you love her in the name of Jesus and your thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I sense that the Lord, you may feel like the Lord is not going to use you, but he's going to use you. He's going to use you. And you just have to let flow in his love. Let him spend time with him, and you're going to see some things changing. You're going to see some things changing. But that's what I'm getting, that sensing that, you know, like, Lord, what are you going to do with me? You know, there's things that he still has for you, and maybe not in the way that you think, but he uses us. And sometimes it's even more impactful than the ways that the world thinks that is better, but not so. And so I sense an intercession increasing in the name of Jesus, and that's powerful. I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that you increase that more and more in her, and that she follows the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Help her, Father God, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus as you use her in that realm, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Miss Sylvia, are you there?
Amen. Yes, thank you. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Okay, I'm getting better. I was struggling with some help for a while, but I'm beginning, the Lord is strengthening me more day by day, so I'm getting better.
Oh, wow. What's going on?
Oh, just pretty much like you said, my immune system, I was sort of my energy level was really low, and it's been that way for a while. And the Lord kept saying he was going to strengthen me, and then they found that I was almost depleted of D3, so now I'm back on the road to recovery. I've changed my diet, and I'm exercising now, so
yeah,
I feel myself.
That.
Yes,
stay away from sugar. Sugary things.
Oh yes, I've given up most things, but I still have my coffee. I figure a little bit wouldn't hurt, but I've given up a lot of things. Low fat, you know, dairy.
Well, you need fat. You need fat.
Yeah.
You need some kind of fat. You need butter. You just need the good fat. But
yes,
the sugar,
I have a little
really,
bit.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's my last thing I have to give up. But but most of the other things, you know, I've gotten better, feeling better, and you know,
glad you're
body's
on vitamin
being strengthened. Yes, I'm on D for 6 months, and then after then, you know, I have to take it. Until they tell me to stop. Yeah, so the energy is picking up at first. Go ahead.
Another way that you can get your vitamin D is through vegetables. You got to find out which ones have it. And spending time outside in the sun, that's your vitamin D. And we need that. That is very important vitamin. Yeah, go ahead.
See, what happens is I go out in the sun, but I have a blood pressure medication that runs my blood pressure up when I'm in the sun. So that's where the D3 problem came. Yeah, that's where that came in. But since they changed my diet, they put me on what you call a DASH diet. And so that's for hypertension. And now my blood pressure is completely down to like 117. I only average between 117 or 130 in a day. It's not going higher. So, you know, I've been blessed in that area, yes.
All right. Well, sounds like you're doing really good. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Well, that's what I sensed right away as I was talking to you. So God is taking care of that, and he gives us wisdom in the things that we eat. So praise God for that. I know that you're going to get better. And, you know, one thing I do recommend that you spend time in the Word, because sometimes as you spend time in God's Word, you know, you end up, the Lord ends up healing you. Just last week we were speaking to Miss Angie, and she wasn't feeling well. So she was so really, really feeling bad. And as we were talking, she started feeling better under the anointing. So, yeah, you know, spend time in the presence of God, you know, the presence of God breaks all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes,
play worship music, speak in the spirit, you know, all that stuff, all the combinations of the different things that God leads us to do, but always be led by the spirit of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's going to guide you onto what you really need to do. He gives you spot on what you need to do. Amen. So,
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's good to hear you. Do you have a testimony, a word for us tonight?
Not tonight. No. Not tonight.
All right. Well, God bless you. And I hope that next time that you talk to us, that you're even better and better. Amen.
Okay.
Well,
amen. Thank you. Bye.
God bless. Bye. All right. 330-752, your name and where you're from.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Who am I speaking with? Yes, who is this?
This is Mimi. My name is Mimi.
Mimi. Mimi, where
from
are you
Ohio.
From, Mimi? Oh,
Ohio.
Okay. Well, let me put you on mute, and I'll pray for you in a minute, okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Mimi. Father God, we just pray for her and lift her up, Father God. I thank you, Father God, because you're showing her things that, you know, it's no longer you. She's no longer living, but you live inside of her, Father God. And the life that she's living is in you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, because she's singing praises to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the praises that she sings to you. And, Lord, we just pray that you continue to help her in that journey, Father God, that you have for her in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing like a trailer. I'm not sure what that's all about. You know, sometimes trailers hold things, travel trailers. I'm not sure what that is all about, but that's what I saw, a trailer. And I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life. Lord, lead and guide her with your spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hello, Mimi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm here.
How are you?
Fine.
How are you?
Trailer travel. I always wanted to travel out of town. I guess that's what that means.
I don't know if it's for storage or something, but I just saw a trailer with two wheels. I don't know if it's for you to store something or I don't know. I'm not sure what that is, or travel. I'm not sure. So are you planning on moving or taking a vacation or something?
I mean, I want to move. I need to move from here because I don't, you know.
Oh, you do? Okay. Do you need prayer for that?
You pray for the situation concerning my landlord and my neighbors and everything and my finances. Oh. And my family to restore the relationship.
Well, I believe the Lord is showing you that Yeah, maybe there's going to be some move in the way, because I saw like a trailer. And so, Lord, we just lift up Mimi, Lord, Father God. We just pray that you lead her and guide her, and that as she takes the steps to moving, Father God, because she has issues, Father God, we just ask you, Father God, that you lead her in the right places, Father God, that you lead her in a good place where she's safe and where she can have a good life, a good place to live in, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Father God, that that you would help her financially, and that you would give her the wisdom, Father God, in all that involves finances and moving. I pray that you place people in her path, Father God, that would help her, Father God. We just thank you for that. We just thank you for that assistance. We know that it is going to be done because you are showing it, Lord. But we just praise you for that right now in the name of Jesus. You know, Mimi, that when God gives a word, that word,
yes,
we have to do something. We have to come in agreement with it, right? And so as we,
yes,
come in agreement with it and work towards it, God, and hear God's leading, he'll show us what we have to do. Okay, because many times people will come and listen to a prophetic word, and they don't do anything, and it doesn't come to pass for some of them. Sometimes, you know, they don't have to do anything, and God will still do it. But there's some things that sometimes God wants to when he gives a word, a prophetic word, is for you to come into agreement and to start walking it out, allowing by being led by his voice. So you need to be in prayer and asking God to help you, and he'll give you impressions. He'll show you through different things, you know, that he'll give you that knowing that, okay, this is what I got to do. This is what, but you have to do that while seeking him. Otherwise, you're going to do it in your own strength and in your own thinking, and it's not going to work. So as you spend time with him, he's going to show you, okay? And that's how you come into agreement with the prophetic word. Okay, because he's going to guide you. He's already spoken it, but you have to come in agreement. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Is there anything that you like to pray, want us to pray about, or a testimony?
I would like to know if I still have any unforgiveness in my heart. I don't.
Well, that would be between you and the Lord, you know.
I don't know. How do you know? You just don't like people, or you just, it was unforgiveness. I mean,
you don't have the warm fuzzies for everybody, but you do. That's something that God tells us to do, to forgive. He wants us to forgive. So is there a reason why you're asking this? Is there something that you're holding in your heart?
I mean, I'm not. Other people are. I'm not. I mean...
Okay, so why did you ask that question?
Like I said, I don't know. So if you don't like nobody, that doesn't mean you don't forgive them, right? I mean.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have the warm fuzzy for everybody, you know, but you do have to treat other people, you know, as you would treat yourself, with kindness.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that you have to hang out with everybody. But you speak respectfully to another person. Now, if they've done something to you, you take it to the Lord and you give it to him and you forgive them, you know, because that's, you get into the habit of doing that and it becomes easier and easier to do. But when you don't do it often, then it's harder and harder to forgive when people do things to you, you know. And so God wants us to be constantly flowing in forgiveness and in love. Amen. Are you there, Mimi?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So,
well, that's it so far.
Okay. All right. So, Father, we just ask you that, Father God, if there's a reason why she asked that, Lord, that you reveal it to her and show her, Father God, you know, help her, Father God, to just flow in your love as she spends time with you, that her relationship with you, that she'll learn more and more and grow and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else, Mimi? Do you want to give a testimony?
No.
Okay. Are you okay?
Oh, you're going to work out situation concerning my car. I'm trying to work. You know.
Your car is not working?
Huh?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm trying to work, but I need a car for my job, a job I found that I like doing, but I need a car for it, and my car is messing up. It's actually DoorDash.
Oh, okay.
I like
you
doing
used to use it.
Yeah. But, yeah,
okay. Well, then you might have to find something else while you're able
car,
to save money. I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's messing up my car, you know. That'll put a work on your car driving every day. So I literally have to stop.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Mimi, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Oh, now I
Hello?
Can. Yes.
I was saying, I was doing that every day, and it was, you know, putting a wreck on my car, so I had to quit doing it. So I needed some transportation to continue doing it.
Okay.
Because I enjoy doing it, so I would like to have some transportation.
Maybe doing another job while you're able to collect the money, and God can make a miracle. Maybe find somebody that'll help you to fix your car. And meanwhile, but you keep moving.
Yes.
You keep moving, doing, and not waiting for it. And you need to hear the voice of God, and God will guide you to where you're supposed to be. And so as you keep moving, looking for jobs and walking and seeking God, you know, he's going to show you where you have to be. Maybe your car might have to be stationed for a while you do something else. And then you can find later on, maybe we'll pray that God will help you and send somebody to help you meanwhile, and that there's an opening for a job somewhere for you in the name of Jesus. So Lord, you hear Mimi's issues, Lord. We just pray, Father God, we lift this situation up to you, Father God, that you would open the doors, the doors of heaven, Father God, the windows of heaven for her, that you would pour a blessing on her, Father God, that she would be able to go to work, find a job, and be able to fix her car. I pray that you place good people around her, Father God, that will be good friends, and that not only that, there will be mutual friendships where they give and take to each other, that they help each other, Father God. I just pray that you would help place good people there in her life in Jesus' name. Go ahead. All right.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, that's it. I don't have anything else to say.
All right.
Can you hear me?
All right, Mimi. Yes. Have a good week and have a blessed week, and call us next week and let us know what's going on, okay? All right. God bless you. All right. Next caller, 225-270. Your name and where you're from.
My name is Jacqueline. Hello, my name is Jacqueline. Yeah, I'm calling from Louisiana.
Oh, Miss Jacqueline, how are you? Let me put you on mute. All right. Let me pray for you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Jacqueline in Louisiana, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's time to step it up, Miss Jacqueline. It's time to move. It's time to do. It's time to move and time to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord is wanting you to do something, and you know what it is. He wants you to move, and you've been sitting on something for a while, and I guess it's the fear, maybe, that you can't do it. But, you know, the longer you sit on that idea and that fear, you're not going to move. You're not going to be able to move. But God says, you know, stand up and start moving, doing what he's called you to do in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just pray that you give her the courage for that, that she doesn't let discouragement or fatigue steal from her anymore, In the name of Jesus, and God wants you to get moving. I'm not sure if that's maybe it's in the exercise department that he wants you to get up and start moving. And sometimes, you know, we fear the pain. But you know what? As you start moving and doing what you need to do, even the pain starts feeling a little bit better. Yeah, amen. And so it's time to move. It's time to start moving in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Miss Jacqueline, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay.
I'm there.
How are you?
I'm there.
What's going on?
Nothing going on today. I know I had talked to you a couple of weeks ago, and I was having trouble with my knee. So you told me to drink plenty of water. So I started the water thing, and it's getting 100% better. I can't walk better. At first, I couldn't hardly walk.
Okay.
I say, well, I'm going to keep drinking the water. I keep hitting those bottles of water. I bought 5 cases of water yesterday.
Yes, and how are you doing in your food and things like that?
Well, my food, I ain't food too much with dust eating a lot of snacks. But I can't walk a little better. I drink that water.
In between. Yeah, you drink water and you have your set time for eating. But they have some sleeves where you can put on your knees, and they sort of like they act sort of like a girdle for your knee, and
I
hold things in. Oh, okay.
I have one on.
And while you're sitting down, you massage your legs and you lift it up and start exercising. Even while you're sitting, you can still exercise.
That's what I've been doing. So I can walk something better now. I get on the floor and say my prayers. It hurt so bad I couldn't hardly get up off the floor.
Yeah, you got to stay hydrated. Yeah, you have to stay hydrated. Vegetables.
I'm getting much better with it. And I always did eat vegetables. That's something I always did do. I always did eat my vegetables. Even though I eat a lot of junk, I love vegetables. I eat salads and cabbage and greens and spinach and corn, you name it. Beets.
Yeah, that's good.
I eat all that kind of. I always did eat my vegetables.
Yeah, but the sweets, as we get older, it's you know, if we had a sweet tooth, we have to be careful with that and not eat so much sweet.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the weight it gets on, it seems like our metabolism sometimes slows down, but it's because we're not moving as much. And we need to move. It's time to move. The Lord is saying it's time to move.
Yeah.
You got to do little things, baby steps, okay, so you don't hurt yourself. But you can, you know, lift your legs, stretch. A lot of, you know, the exercise is not hardcore exercise, but stretching your inner core, your arms, your legs, you know, bending them back, forward, up higher. And if it hurts, that means you have to work on that. You know, I was experiencing, because, you know, I do a lot of computer work, my left side was acting funny. So I started going to the gym and stretching that out, just stretching it out. And now I feel good about it. You know, it got to a point where I would lift and I was like, ooh, I'm feeling that. So it feels better, but you have to exercise it. You have to walk, or maybe go out to the garden, go to the backyard, go to the patio, you know, do little things and sit down, do little things and sit down, and, you know, baby steps, okay?
I've been walking some. I walked that grocery store, and I went to Walmart yesterday. That's even worse. I was doing a lot of walking in Walmart.
Oh, window shopping.
So I got my exercise.
Good.
I
want
to
that's
2 days
good.
In a row, so I got my exercise.
Well, some people go to the malls and they walk in the inner parts of the close to the stores all around, and they do certain laps You know, you see people early in the morning doing that before the stores open up. So there's different things that you could take advantage of, or walk in the park, you know, sit down and walk a little more. Just do baby steps, and before you know it, you'll be doing more. Amen?
Yeah.
But just don't be sedentary. It's not good for us.
No.
Amen? Do you have a testimony or anything you want us to pray about?
I just wanted to tell you that part. I did get better when I started drinking that water. It took a while, though, for me to get much better, though. It took like two or three weeks.
Yeah, I told you it was going to take a while. It was going to take a while.
It did. It took a while, but I got much better because I couldn't know how to walk. It would hurt when I walk.
Well, they have a thing called collagen, and you can find it at Costco or Sam's, and you take that, and that helps your hair, your knees, your joints, everything. It's
what
not a miracle thing, but it's collagen. I forget the name of it. It's in a light blue container, and you take that every day, you know, a scoop of that every day over a period of time, and you do feel better. And they say taking bone broth, but not too much. You know, bone broth has a lot of things where some people are sensitive to bone broth because they get gout if they have too much of that in their body. But it's good. Or when you make beef, you know, like with soups, that bone broth is good for you. It's also good for you. Well, Miss Jackie, is there anything else?
Okay.
Well, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you continue to help Miss Jackie, help her in her health, Father God, and help her to get going. And Lord, we just pray that you give her encouragement, maybe place people in her path, Father God, to be, you know, someone to help her, Father God, to also walk, Father God, maybe a walking buddy. And we just thank you, Father God, for that assistance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Miss Jackie. Well, God bless you. It's
all
nice
right, thank
to hear
you.
And continue
all
drinking
right.
the water.
I'm going to continue
bye-bye.
On. All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Next caller is 404-453, your name and where you're from. I have other callers. If you like prayer and ministry tonight, please raise your hand because there's a lot of callers listening, but nobody's raising their hand. All right.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Madeline. I'm calling from Georgia.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, give me a minute and I'll put you on mute. I'm hearing background noise. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for Madeline from Georgia, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for her, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I see you like a little girl, and they're wanting you to be prim and proper, but I see you like skipping around, and you got the joy of the Lord in your heart. And, you know, it bothers some people, the people that don't have that joy. But you and your little own heart, you're singing to the Lord and just skipping around and just praising him. But don't let those that, you know, are bitter and angry to take that joy away from you. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for that joy that's in Madeline's heart, Father God. I see her just skipping and enjoying your presence, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you increase that even more. Father God, because the joy of the Lord is her strength in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, and that it doesn't bother her, Father God, that whoever doesn't like it, she's going to praise you and worship you, Father God, because she loves you and you just touch her heart. Father God, you touch her heart and her heart is full of joy for you and for the things of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That is so true.
How are you? Really? Thank you.
It's
so
true what you were saying.
I was seeing like a little girl skipping around and other people could, like frowning on her. They didn't like it, but it's their problem, not yours.
Right. That's true.
Don't let that bother you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the Lord. That's confirmation. I just like getting with him and just praising him, and he's just in awe to me. I love him. I love him so much. And I wanted to share that love. And, yeah, it's been my life with people trying to get angry with me because I love him or share the word. And he's just solid in my heart. And it's no turning back. I want to go forward in him. So
amen.
That is confirmation. That is definitely confirmation of lifting up my hands to him and surrender and teaching me his way. And
that's good. That's awesome.
I appreciate that prayer. I really appreciate that prayer.
He's showing me. So what God is trying to tell you is don't let other people discourage you from what God is doing in you. Just don't pay no mind to them. Don't pay no mind.
Amen.
Because sometimes, you know, you're like, man, should I be, you know, feeling different? But you know what? That's not true. It's just the enemy, and some people are jealous, you know, with what we feel sometimes, and they can't stand it. So you continue worshiping the Lord and doing what he's telling you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have any testimonies?
I do. I was able to, on my job, I work in a dental field, and I get a chance. I've been meeting some beautiful people, and I've been seeing God's miracle hand work supernaturally. And they're from everywhere, and I'm really loving the place that I am, that I can be a service to the Lord and a servant to others. And I'm just looking for him to help me to move forward and some things he wants me to do, and just go ahead and jump in and work for him. And that's what I've seen. And my prayer is, you know, that I can follow him and what he actually wants, and intercede on my family and the marriage and the relationship, so that we can do God's will.
Yes. I used to work as a dental assistant many years ago. And yeah. So I understand why that joy is so important.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that are bitter and angry. They have problems with their mouth. But you know what? It does make a difference, even though they're in pain. Mm-hmm. That joy is necessary. It's like I see you, like they're annoyed, but it's because they're bitter and angry.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Oh my goodness! Well, you need to. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still need to be that way, because when you're not feeling well, you don't need to be around.
Right.
Serious people. You need to be around people that are optimistic, even though you're not feeling well. And so it makes perfect sense now to me.
They're just like, what? And the patients are coming out rejoicing. There was one lady that was definitely afraid, and the Lord just told me to go and, you know, put the air syringe, the water, to release the impression material. And she was just so excited. But the Lord had a word for her, because come to find out, she was a believer. And the Lord took the fear away. And she came back to tell it. And so she told my manager, I don't want nobody to work for me but her. So they go like, Yeah.
Wow.
So I see
different.
Something. Mm-hmm.
But you keep on being that way because it's helpful. It's helpful to those that are in pain. Now I know.
Yeah.
You know, as I was saying that, I was like, I go, that's what I was seeing, that little girl jumping. I go, what does that have to do, Lord? But I'm going to say it anyway because I know that how you are, you know, that you tell me to say some things that don't make no sense
that's
to me,
right.
But then they ever make it.
That's right. That's so true. That is so true.
Oh,
and it's good to know that somebody else been in the dental field. I've been in there for 39 years, and the Lord told me to go back in. He had me to change jobs. Yeah, he put me on a rest for 5 years, and even with the pandemic, and then he said, okay, I want you to go back in. And so He sent me in a different direction, and it's definitely with the Lord. And I was hired right then on the spot. And
wow,
the managers said themselves that their word is something told me I'm to hire you right now. And I said, yes. And I'm to be here, and I'm not to seek out the other, the other places that I had put applications in. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been working.
That's why. Because they need people like you, because in some dental clinics, some of these people that help as assistants, they're not very helpful with a person in their name, you know. So, I worked in it for a season through the Red Cross overseas.
Oh,
I was in Italy. And I worked in the military. And so it was really nice because I speak Spanish, and so we had civilian Italians also coming in. And so I worked everywhere. I worked in the front desk. I worked as a dental assistant. Yeah. And we were learning, you know, through the Red Cross. But I mainly, I work better at the front desk because I like to talk to people. And so the patient really can't talk to you when they're in the desk.
Right. You got to keep it moving. Oh, that's awesome. It's good to know that. God bless you. Oh, thank you.
God bless you. You're doing God's work there. Trust me, you are.
Yeah. You are.
Thank
you so
much. Is there anything else that you like prayer for?
I'm having, with my vehicle, I'm believing God is for me to change out the vehicle, and I'm looking to be able to get another new vehicle of my desire. And the direction I'm to go. I know that I'm to travel do some things. So I'm just asking the Lord so that I could get a little rest and then go and do what he's called me to do. And that's about families and ministry and the work that I'm doing. Uh-huh. Yeah, but the transportation, you know, I need the better, my heart's desire of the transportation I have. And I like vans, you know, minivans, so I could pick people up and take them where to go, and then the grandchildren, you know. I just like the open road. Yay.
I understand. I like traveling too. So let me pray for you. And if anybody else is on the line that needs a vehicle, pray along with me for the sister and for yourself. We'll be praying for everybody that's in need of a new vehicle. Father,
In the name of Jesus, Lord, you know the need for vehicles, Father God. For those that are listening, for the sister, you know that she has a desire of her heart, what kind of car she wants, what the type of car she needs. We ask you, Father God, that when she goes out, that it'll be the perfect day, that when she goes out to buy that new vehicle, that it'll be with the right salesman, that it'll be the right price, that it'll be the right color. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father God, that you would put the right person in her path, Father God, to do that, to do that, the paperwork and everything, that, Father God, that it will be a great deal for her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that vehicle. Father God, bring it to her soon because it's of great need and for whoever else may need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love you, Carmen. Thank you so much. It's a
love
pleasure
you
to talk with you. Okay.
Well,
good night.
You keep on skipping.
I will. I will. Good night.
All right. God bless you. Good night. All right. I have other people on the line. If you need prayer ministry, please raise your hand up. I don't have anyone else to take, but you're on the line. If there's any prayer needs that you have, anything that you would like prayer for tonight. If not, while I wait for somebody to raise their hand, I'm going to give some, I'll take a moment right now to break here and tell you what I was going to tell you at the end of the show, but I'll just do it now. Okay. If you want to be that virgin that's prepared, right, and we all do, right, let's look at some things that you can prepare in that you didn't, may have not thought about that you need to be prepared, because if a bride is prepared, the Holy Spirit is going to prepare you in this before the coming of the Lord, whether it's that you die ahead of time or that the Lord comes. Okay. And, okay, I'm going to give you a test, and you, I want you to write these down. And think about these during the week. And this test is based on the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions in the Word. And one of them is, are you improving on these things every year? You got to look at the ones, the questions that I'm asking you. Are you improving on these things every year that passes by? I'm not saying that you have to be an expert or you have to be perfect. This, remember, this is a journey. Remember the story of hind's feet, where much afraid was taking that journey, and each part of the journey she learned something, but she kept moving. She kept moving in the journey, and she, in one of the parts, she finds herself like in a cemetery where there's tombstones, and she asked, "What were they?" And there were people that had stopped taking the journey, and they passed away. They didn't finish the trip up to the mountain. They never got to the ascend the mountain of the Lord, of the mountain of love. So we want you to progress in that journey. And sometimes it's a slow journey, sort of like a butterfly in a cocoon, okay? And there's something going on. And there's the butterfly looks like a worm at first. There's a process of letting control of the flesh. You know, you control the flesh and let the Spirit of God control you. The Word of God says if we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we have to renew our minds with the Word. And so the more you do that and spend time with the Lord in the secret place, you're going to be transformed. You're going to be changed. And that reminds me of my little my boys when they were little. There used to be these toys called Transformers, and there were cars that would transform into robots or reverse them into from robots into a car. I remember they had them in Burger King that they would give the kids meals, and these little toys, they would have them, and you know, they would switch them out and change and transform them. I have a butterfly that hangs on my car that my grandson gave me for one of my birthdays, and that reminds me of the transformation in my life taking place daily, okay? And so at first, a butterfly is only, like I said, like a worm, and it's in that cocoon. It looks kind of ugly.
So sometimes, you know, when we start the walk with the Lord, we don't look too good. And so as we progress and we look, if we change, we change. We look beautiful, sort of like that character that I was talking about in Hinds Feet, that much afraid, she had a crooked mouth and crooked legs. She couldn't walk well. So when she learned to go up the mountain, she learned to go higher, she was transformed. And then the Lord, the shepherd, gave her hinds feet, feet like deer, where the deer can go up and down. So there's a transformation that takes place that people will start noticing about you when you go higher in the mountain of love, okay? And so the question that I'm going to ask you right now, and this, you have to say if you have been changed in the past year, are you more loving? Are you loving other people more? The second question is, are you more patient than you were last year? Do you have patience? Do you have more self-control? Self-control maybe with alcohol, maybe with overeating, maybe with drugs? More so than last year, are you taking steps to be better? And bearing fruit in those areas. Are you doing, what are you doing on the sinful nature, on your flesh? What are you doing to combat the sexual immorality that may be in your life? The lustful thoughts. And this all, the Apostle Paul, he spoke about all these things. The pornography, the chasing after things that are not of God. Are you chasing things and not chasing God? So are you going to work on those things this year? And so manipulating others, sometimes, you know, people manipulate others. Are you hateful? Are you not forgiving? Are you resentful? Do you have temper tantrums when you don't get your way? Are you angry? Do you quarrel a lot? Do you argue with other people? And you need to stop that and you need to control that and allow the Spirit of God to help you as the Holy Spirit guides you and pinpoint. Sometimes he'll show you, hey, you're not doing something right. Are you being envious of others? Are you murdering in your heart? Sometimes when you hate, you're murdering other people. When you hate, when somebody treats you wrong or something like that, you can be having a spirit of murder. Addictions to drugs, alcohol, and food, like I mentioned before. Are you a partier? And you need to stop that? Then that's something you need to work on. To produce fruit, you need to stay in the Word. Connected to the vine, like it says, like Jesus says, that he is the vine, we are the branches. He said we can't live apart from him. And we can't do anything apart from him. So stay connected to him 24 hours, 7 days a week. Okay, stay in a relationship with God by talking to him, praying throughout the day. Listen to his voice when he tells you to do something. Don't ignore it. This past week, I could feel when I got home, I could feel in my inner man that, you know, as I was worshiping him, that he was pulling me more and more to him. And I turned on the TV and I was going to watch something on YouTube on the TV. And I got sidetracked and I started looking at other things that, you know, that I wanted to see. And then before I knew it, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I was supposed to, you know, the Holy Spirit was wooing me to him and I didn't do it. And so when he does that, don't ignore him. But seek him, because he's trying to woo you to him, and he's, you know, you don't. He's a gentle. The Spirit of God is gentle, and he's not gonna make you do anything you don't want him to do. Surrender daily to him. Put him first. Depend on him. Talk to him and say, Holy Spirit, help me, guide me. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Allow him. He give him the welcoming and. And say, yeah, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Don't ignore his leading. And resist sin, the sin nature. Weaken it. Don't feed it. Feed the Spirit. When you know that you're going to fall into some temptation of some kind, give yourself more to the Spirit of God, more to the Word, more to prayer. and make your spirit man stronger. Go to church. Find a Bible-believing church that's strong, with strong believers, with a good Bible study. Don't hang around people that may be bad influences. Don't go around mixing in with those gossipers. When you see that at work, when you see that in your neighborhood with your neighbors, just, you know, cut it out. Control your anger. Ask God where you're lacking, and he's going to show you. Lord, what am I doing? You know, why this or why that? And he'll show you. Be with people that can help you see what's wrong with you, that will be lovingly, in a loving way, will tell you, okay, you know, you need to work on this. And so isn't anyone else on the line that needs prayer? Please raise your hand now, because I'll finish the show. But before that, let me pray for you. If nobody else wants a prayer ministry, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you peace. And I'm going to play a song here. And I pray that you are well this week and that God blesses you. Amen.
But I can feel that it's Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, if there's not anyone that needs prayer and prophecy, I'll be closing the show. There are callers. They don't have their hands up. God bless you. Have a blessed week. And remember, keep bearing fruit. Don't stop. Seek him. Spend time with him in the secret place. God bless. See you next week. God willing. Bye-bye.